So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. You know, more and more people are enjoying paddle sports, I think, these days, and maybe than ever before. And Darren Bush knows all about that. He can probably talk about that, but he can talk a lot about paddling, be it canoes or kayak. He's the owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. Canoe-copia is this weekend, coming up right now, as a matter of fact. And so we're going to talk with him about Canoe-copia, what you can find there. And then we're also going to just answer your questions that you might have. Or maybe you'll share some experiences about canoeing and kayaking. Love to hear from you. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. And Darren Bush, welcome back.
Thank you.
Great to have you back. And you look pretty darn chipper for somebody who's got the biggest expo relating to canoeing and kayaking in the world starting on Friday.
I'm always chipper.
I know you are.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you can worry about things, but that doesn't make them go any better. And a lot of the stuff that I'm supposed to do has been done for a long time, and got 18 great staff back at the shop getting everything ready and dotting the I's and crossing the T's. So, it's all going very smoothly.
Well, we might just as well, let's talk a little bit about it. It's at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, and Friday starts in the afternoon,
yep,
doesn't it?
4 to 9.
4 to 9.
And then 9 to 6 on Saturday and 10 to 5 on Sunday.
And I have been there many, many times, and the amount of equipment is unbelievable.
It's a lot. We take up the entire exhibition hall. It's about 100,000 square feet, and fill it up with canoes and kayaks and camping gear and paddle sports or paddle boards and just things you need to go outside.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And the thing that I kind of like about it, it is, in some ways, it's a lot like our garden expo that we have Wisconsin Public Radio and Television put on, because there are so many educational opportunities.
Right. I mean, we have 8 speaker rooms plus the pool at the Clarion to use for classes. And, you know, we have 120, I think, classes, 120 exhibit, about 90 speakers and about 120 classes. So people double up because of the popular folks like to give them twice. And if we don't, we get hung in effigy. So we need to make the customer happy. So, yeah, we have a lot of educational opportunities. That's the part of the show that I actually like the most, is the ability to teach.
Yeah, it's amazing, and the range. And in past years, you've had sometimes you brought one of the speakers along with you, but to the show, and we've talked with one of those speakers. But mm-hmm. give people a kind of the range of things that they might expect.
Well, there's kind of 3 different kinds of talks. Okay, mm-hmm. There's this is how you do this, and it's everything from, you know, drying your food for camping, you know, doing your own dehydration, to how to camp cook, to how to pitch a tent, to how to paddle, do all these things, these how-tos. So that's the first one. The second one is where to go. Like, mm-hmm. what's it like to go here or here or here? And the third one is what are the logistics behind that? So say you want to go out with your friends. How do you do it? Say you want to go to the Yukon. Is there someone who can tell you about what it's like to paddle up in the Yukon? And then there's filmmakers that come and do presentations on just, say, inspirational topics.
So, believe me, you can spend the whole weekend there.
You could spend the whole weekend. If we did another day, we could do it another day and not see everything. I wish we could, but I think my staff would revolt.
And so, and of course, along with all that educational, all those presentations that people are going to have, you have vendors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have about 250 exhibitors and vendors that make up the hall. And so some of those folks are selling things, canoes, kayaks, gear, whatever. A lot of them are from camps or guide services or schools, nonprofits. Anybody who has anything to do with the outdoors or paddling is there.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Darren Bush, our guest today, talking paddle sports with him today and the Canoe-copia Expo, which is this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. Maybe you've attended in past years. Maybe you have an experience to share, a question to ask about Canucopia, or maybe you have a question about the kayak that you'd like to buy or the canoe you'd like to buy, or maybe talk a little bit about your experiences with paddle sports. Love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page, title, The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. One of the things I kind of like about going is if there's anything new out there, it's probably you're gonna see it at Canucopia.
Yeah, a lot of folks choose Canucopia for their debut for a new product, just because it's the earliest show in the year. It's the first time everybody's gonna be in the same spot, and so there's some cool new stuff coming out. Nothing radical, because you know water's kind of the same as it always was, and mm-hmm. boat design doesn't change radically. It'll be tweaked here and there. But some of the macro trends I'm seeing, we're seeing a lot more interest in traditional type gear. So instead of using Gore-Tex or a regular nylon pack cloth, we're using canvas again. And the old canvas Duluth pack mm-hmm. has been around forever. And I've got one that's probably older than me that I got from a friend of mine, and still use it. Still works. Traditional paddles, one-piece wood paddles are coming back. There's a reason that they were shaped that way, and they work really, really well. So people are starting to, what's old is new, I guess.
Yeah.
That works.
There's some old things that, though, are probably not as good and may not be coming back as much. And that one of that area, I think one, is the in the area of life jackets.
Yes. Interesting.
Talk about what's new out there. So what's out there?
What's new in life jackets, people are getting smaller. So we're starting to see a lot more carbon dioxide cartridge, CO2 cartridge inflatables. Now, they've been around for a long time. You go on the airplane and they say, put it over your head, pull the tab, and all that. That's a CO2 life jacket. But that's, the bare minimum. This is something that is set up to be really, really comfortable and really, really functional. But the escalation in stand-up paddleboarding, you need to have a life jacket, but people don't want to wear a life jacket on a paddleboard. And, I get it. Yeah. So you can get one that goes around your waist. It's the sign of a size of a couple of cans of pop, right on the back of your hip, and you just pull the tab and flip it over your head. So that's one thing that's changing, yeah.
And that'll hold, it may not hold somebody up my size, but...
No, it'll hold anybody. even you, Larry.
Even me.
Even you.
Somebody as svelte as me, or lack of svelteness, let's put it that way. Oh, gosh. Darren Bush, our guest today. We'll take some calls. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Tom in Richfield has something for us. Hi, Tom. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I enjoy your show very much.
Thanks.
I'm a novice canoer, and I'm interested in buying one for use on Lake Winnebago. And I was interested in the flat bottom with a flat stern for a small trolling motor, maybe a budget of $1,000. Could you comment a little bit on their safety being a flat bottom and the relative cost?
Yeah, okay. So kind of two different things, the flat bottom versus the flat back. So a flat back canoe, you put a little trolling motor on or something and mm-hmm. zoom around, that's great. As far as a flat bottom, flat bottom canoes have what's called initial stability, which means when you first get in them, they feel very, very stable. As they get wavier, then the flat bottom tends to follow the contour of the wave. So rather than letting the wave slip underneath you, it kind of follows that. And so they can be actually a little bit more tippy when the weather comes up. So Lake Winnebago is pretty big and pretty shallow and gets pretty choppy. A perfectly flat bottom canoe is going to be a little bit harder to manage. Now, a little arch to the bottom of a boat lets it ride up and over the waves a little bit. But those two things are sort of not mutually exclusive. They're independent of each other.
Okay. So, but for $1,000, can he...
He should be able to find something easily, yeah.
And probably going to, a good place to look would be at Canucopia, probably.
It's not a bad place to look. So
you're going to have flat bottoms. You're going to have every kind imaginable, I would think.
Yeah, flatbacks.
Flatbacks,
yeah,
sorry.
Flat bottom canoes. We don't have that many of them. Very few, actually.
Okay. Well, there you go, Tom. Thanks a lot. I hope
that
helps.
Thank you very much. It does. Thanks.
Okay, appreciate the call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Randy called in, couldn't stay with us. He has a Pungo 140 kayak, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yep, you are.
Pungo. Do you recommend using the console that comes with it or the extended skirt in place of it to stay dry? And first, what is a Pungo kayak?
Yeah, let's keep this as an open conversation. A Pungo 140 is a 14-foot kayak that has a very large cockpit in it, very, very large. So you can almost lay down in it. So it's, when you think of a typical kayak, you think of a small cockpit. This is a very, very large one. Now, they come with a little console that pops in the front that you can put your things on, you know, your little spot for your phone or, you know, power bars or whatever, right? Or you can put a spray skirt on, a big cover that covers the whole thing. So if you're just out paddling around on the local pond, then, you know, the little dashboard's kind of nice. Mm-hmm. But if you're going anywhere there's wind or waves or anything where there's you know, water involved, where you're, the boat's moving around, you definitely want to put a spray skirt on.
So maybe you'd be using both.
Yeah, it's not either or. Yeah, it's use the one when it's calm, use the other one when it's not.
Jamie in Colfax called, wants to know what kind of kayak to buy for fishing.
Good question. Every kayak is a fishing kayak because you fish out of it, so it makes it a fishing kayak. Now, that said, there are many kayaks that are specifically made for fishing. They have spots on them that are already created for adding things like trolling mounts, rod holders, GPS, fish finder, the whole deal. You can get one that has all the bells and whistles on it. You could even get them that have a power drive where you can, you know, drop a little propeller through the bottom and pedal and fish hands-free. You can also get one that drops a little Minn Kota motor in it so you can zoom around hands-free without even pedaling. So, yeah, they're very, very complex and very complicated, but you can go from just a simple kayak with a couple of rod holders on it to the, you know, the full Monty there.
And what are there particular brands that stand out when it comes to that?
Yeah, Jackson Kayak is one that has put a lot of horsepower behind fishing. Native Watercraft is another one. Those two are kind of the ones that got started with the kayak fishing thing. And then Wilderness Systems makes some really nice boats as well. Those three are kind of the ones.
The top three.
Yeah, and Old Town makes some nice boats as well. I mean, there's a lot of activity in kayak fishing, obviously.
Jackie and Dawson up next with a comment. Hi, Jackie. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I have two dogs. They're golden retriever mixes and about 55 pounds. I'd like to be able to get on the water with ideally maybe a kayak. Or a canoe, but what would you recommend?
I would recommend a canoe, and I would recommend a canoe with a double-bladed paddle if you're concerned about the, you know, being able to control the direction of it. So, I mean, a canoe is just a kayak with the decks cut off, made longer and taller, right? If you look at it that way. So, you know, a 15-foot boat where you can sit in the, you know, sit in the front seat turned around backwards and put your dogs in. That's I have a Great Pyrenees now, Alice, and then I have a Golden Retriever or a Black Lab that had passed away. But that was my canoe dog. And what I would do is turn around a small tandem and sit in the front seat facing back so I'm closer to the middle of the boat, and then Gracie would sit right in front of me there. And if it got windy, you just pull out a kayak paddle. It works great.
Oh, sure. Why not?
Yep. But there's one thing I would add. Dogs don't like smooth, right? So what I use is get bath mats from wherever. If you can get them at the thrift store, that's great. And put them in the bottom of the boat, and that gives their fingernails something to grip onto. Otherwise, they kind of skid around.
Yeah,
a little
bit. That's right.
Yep.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Is there a brand that you would recommend? Or
For those kinds of symmetrical, I like symmetrical canoes. Okay. I would look at a Novacraft Bob Special. That's a 15-footer. That's really nice. That's kind of an omnibus canoe. It's a really good one. If you want something longer, there's one called the Pal. That's a nice one as well. But those two, they're good dog boats. I don't know why. But I paddle with my dogs all the time in those. So.
Yeah, great.
And how much do those weigh?
Depends. You can get them down in the 40-pound range, 40 to 60, depending on
60.
The kind of material you'll get and all that, yeah.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Jackie. Appreciate the call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Taking a look at canoeing and kayaking and Canoecopia Expo with our guest, Darren Bush. I'm Larry Mueller. Breanne Chasseau, our on-air producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I think there's one line left open for you at 1-800-642-1234 as we take a look at paddling, either it be with canoe or kayak, with Darren Bush of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. By the way, I should mention the Canoecopia Expo is extremely large, as Darren was talking about. And if you want to know when and where various things are taking place over the weekend, Darren, just go to your website, right?
Yeah, if you go to rutabaga.com, there's a big button on the front that says Canoecopia, and just click on it. You get the speaker schedule. You can get everything that's going on, everybody who's there by category. I was just pulling it up real quick to look at it to see if I was right about something, and I was. So that's good.
So just go to rutabaga.com, right?
Rutabaga.com. I think actually probably put it on your Facebook page within about 13 seconds if your producer is on top of it.
And I think excellent. All right.
And there it is.
Yep. And there it is. Okay, well, good. It's on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show if you want to get to it. Randy and Amro has something for us, so let's go there. Hi, Randy. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. How are you?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Well, I had another question regarding the Pungo 140, which I bought from them over at Rutabaga a couple of years ago. I'm very pleased with it. What do I need to do to that boat to make it more fish worthy?
Like good for fishing?
Yeah.
Well, so it depends how you fish. Some folks like to paddle along and troll. In that case, you'd see a couple of rod holders on it and just, you know, paddle with them behind you. You might want to put an anchor trolley on. A lot of folks put anchors on, small ones, so they can go to a part in the river they like and drop the anchor and then fish upstream and then pull the anchor up and go down further. You can, if you want to go to the GPS/fish finder route, you can do all that. But most people just put on a couple of rod holders and an anchor, and that usually does it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you recommend something to surface mount on that then, or something that... Yeah, I'm always hesitant to impale the surface of a new boat.
Yeah. We do it all the time. Yeah, drilling holes in boats is fine. Now, the thing is, there's surface mount. So that you can get tracks or mounts that actually fix to the boat, but you can remove the accessories when you're not using them. So look at something like Ram Mounts makes some stuff. Yak Attack is another one. So everything you get to put on the boat, you should be able to take most of it off when you're not using it.
Okay.
That makes
sense. Well, answers my question. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, good. Randy, for calling. Appreciate it. And let's go to Jim in Dubuque, Iowa next. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Hello there.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm a 72-year-old former runner. I ran for 40 years, and I have two artificial hips, and I always tell people I'm kind of addicted to a starter's pistol, and I took up canoe racing, and it's just changed my life. I never thought I'd ever like anything other than running, but now I'm almost glad I had my hips replaced.
Wow. So what is it, what's the allure, Darren, of canoe racing?
Well, Jim, you're probably one of those guys that be racing anything, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, that's true, except I don't like bicycle racing because it's too dangerous, but
yeah.
When you fall out of a canoe, you just get, you know,
yeah, you just get wet.
You get wet, you know, and I don't mind getting wet.
Right.
But I've fell on a bike a couple of times, and that's not nice at all.
No, I'm still picking gravel out of parts of my body that I fell on 20 years ago. Yeah, no, it's not fun. No, canoe racing is awesome, and racing, and that can mean a lot of different things. There's super competitive racing where you're paddling a certain class of canoe that is kind of like a one design class for sailing, and those things are wicked fast and really fun to paddle. But it can also be just, you know, the Stittenden to my canoe race down here in Stoughton, you know, it's 200 aluminum canoes and lots of beer changing hands. It's like, you know, the grudge matches that go on for generations down there. And that's part of racing, too. So, yeah, and then the paddle of portage, of course, here. So, yeah, it doesn't have to mean super competitive, but there is a competitive element that is super high-tuned and really, really cool. And the athletes are at a superb level of athleticism.
Jim, thanks a lot for calling and sharing that. And paddle and portage, I have friends who do paddle and portage every year.
They have 400 boats.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's amazing, yeah, and it's only going to get better, but I can't talk about that yet.
Well, maybe next time you're on. Mm-hmm. Nan in Madison, thanks again, Jim. Nan in Madison has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Nan.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Great, appreciate the call.
So here's the deal. I'm hearing and reading that the dry suits are much improved in the last number of years, and I'd like to know the benefits of wearing a dry suit in the summer versus a wetsuit. And I'm talking about paddling on colder lakes like Lake Superior. And then my second question is, what about a two-piece dry suit?
Okay, and maybe you can define for us dry suit versus wetsuit, Darren.
Okay, so it's pretty simple. A wetsuit is basically a material, it's usually neoprene, that is between 2 and 4 millimeters thick. And it covers your body, and it fits close to the skin. And it allows a little bit of water to go inside it. So it's not waterproof. It just lets water go in. But then it warms that water up next to your skin. That's what most people think of when they think of, you know, protection in the water. So surfers, divers, that's all wetsuit stuff, mostly. Dry suits are different. So what dry suits do is they keep the water away from your skin. So what you have is gaskets at your wrists and at your neck that are latex, and they fit close, not tight. I mean, they're not cutting off circulation, but they're close. And then that allows your body to stay dry completely. So you're going to wear insulation underneath that, just like you were wearing to go out in the cold anyway. So, like, if I'm going to Lake Superior in June and the water's, you know, 40 degrees or 45 degrees, if I go in the water, I'm going to be uncomfortable for, you know, a bit of time, and I'm going to be dead if I'm not out of the water within an hour or 45 minutes, right? So it's not something to be trifled with. The good news with dry suits is they breathe. The good dry suits are made out of Gore-Tex and breathable materials. So even if you're hot and sweating, you're not cooking in your own juices like you do in a wetsuit. As far as two-piece goes, it just depends. It's personal preference. I have one pieces just because I find them easier to get in and out of. But two piece allows some more versatility. You can wear just the top if you want to, if it's a dry top. So yeah, so there's some versatility there, but it is really personal preference.
There we go.
What's your opinion on the? It's a fabric called 3L.
3L, yeah. So Gore-Tex is, you know, one of the first waterproof breathable fabrics.
Right.
Patented by W.L. Gore. Amazing stuff. The patent ran out on that not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of other waterproof breathable materials that are coming out that are all trade named. They all vary. Some of them are better at waterproof. Some are better at breathable.
Mm-hmm.
3L's right in the middle, just like a lot of them. You know, there's Tropos, there's Gore-Tex, there's 3L, there's Activent, there's all sorts of different ones.
Great. We'll see you this weekend.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And this weekend, of course, as we mentioned earlier, Canucopia, the Canucopia Expo. We haven't talked, I forgot to mention parking and ticket prices and so forth. We should probably mention that as well.
Yeah. Parking is whatever the county says it is.
$7 a day.
Okay. Yep. And then tickets are 15 for a day or 25 for three. And kids 17 and under are free.
So there we go. And 17 and under. So that's a pretty good deal.
and I've always said this, if there's a youth group that wants to come and they have adults, I'll give the adults their tickets for free to bring the kids.
Oh, wonderful.
So contact me.
There we go. And just do that by going to your website.
Just go to Darren B. at Rutabaga. That's the best way to get me.
Tom in Madison has something for you. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Yeah, I'm a big fan of paddling on the Wisconsin River. I mean, the white sand beaches are just amazing. And I hardly ever see any of their canoers. I wonder if Darren has ever spent much time on the Wisconsin River.
If I've ever paddled?
Yeah.
You've never read anything I've written, have you? That is my favorite place in the world to paddle. And yes, I've spent probably more time on the Wisconsin River than any other body of water in the world. I absolutely love it there, and you're right. It's a magical place.
It is a magical place. Yeah. There are parts of the river where you're paddling along, and it's like you're in the middle of nowhere.
Well, so in the show guide, I wrote a little piece quoting Reuben Goldthwaite's, you know, who was director, president of the Wisconsin Historical Society back in the turn of the century. This little egghead academic guy paddled 600 miles one summer, doing the entire length of the Fox, the Rock, and the Wisconsin. So, yeah, he described it exactly the same way as it is now. And then Marquette and Joliet, when they wrote about it, they said exactly the same thing. Like the description of the river hasn't changed in 300 years. That's pretty good news.
That is very good news.
Yep.
So, Tom,
yes.
from me and from Darren, I tell you, it's really a lot of fun to paddle that river. It's, you know, when you, like any place, you want to be, you always, there's a little certain amount of care that goes along with any time you're in the water, but.
Yeah, I guess it's not a horrible, dangerous, nasty place.
No.
Everybody who says, oh, that's a dangerous river, it's like, yeah, if you're drunk, not wearing a PFD, or both.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything's dangerous if you're drunk, not wearing a PFD.
Yeah.
And dumb.
John in Belleville has a question. Hi, John. Thank you for calling.
Hello, Larry. Thanks for the great show.
Sure thing.
Hey, I remember reading in the Canoeacopia magazine a few years ago on your daughter, I believe, who started kayaking when she was quite young. I have a 6-year-old daughter who loves to go canoeing with her mother and I, but I really think she would enjoy getting into kayaking. Do you have any thoughts on young people kayaking, maybe size of boat, things to consider?
Yeah, 6 is kind of late to get them started, though. okay, yeah. No, my daughter started. She got a solo canoe for her 4th birthday, but I realized that we're weird and that our kids learned to paddle before they could learn how to ride a bike. That's normal. They do have small kayaks. That are designed just for kids. A couple of small ones I'm thinking of. One is, it's the Acadia Scout, I think it's called. If you email me, I'll send you the name. I can't keep every name in my head. It'd drive me crazy. But yeah, a little for a 6-year-old, it's perfect. It'll fit until she's 10 or 11, and then you can hand it off. And the good news about those boats is they don't really wear out because kids don't beat on things as much. So you'll sell it for $100 less than you paid for it to the next guy who will sell it for $100 less than to the next guy. And that boat will get used, you know,
forever.
Yeah. Yep.
So that
I
is
love it.
Yeah, that is really cool. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Larry.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Ann in Green Bay has a question. Hi, Ann.
Yes. Hello. I have heard that the Wisconsin River is very dangerous. So can you tell me what is so dangerous about it and what parts of it that, you know, people are referring to as so dangerous? I'm just curious.
It's really interesting. So the place I've heard is really dangerous is right below Sauk City. There's a railroad bridge, and there's water moving around it. And a couple people have drowned there in the past 20 years. They were both drunk, and neither were wearing a life jacket. So there really isn't anything on there that I would say is overtly dangerous.
I mean, that's not a really dangerous spot.
Well, everything's dangerous if you're drunk and stupid. Right. I mean, that's the way it is.
But you can paddle through. There's nothing.
I've paddled through there with my kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just have to keep your wits about you and, you know, hey, guys, watch this. That's not the time for that.
Yeah.
No, it's not. So, yeah. Are there dangerous spots on the river? I can make anything dangerous by being dumb.
I have yet to find a spot that I would really consider dangerous. I mean, you know, there's...
Yeah, no, it's like everything in the world. You can fall off the curb, you know, but generally, if you have your wits about you and you're using, you know, best practices, which is wearing a life jacket, not inebriated, those things, those problems go away.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I think people get concerned about the sandbars, you know, they change and fluctuate and people have actually fallen off them. And
yeah, if you fall off a sandbar, the correct response is to go, oh, I fell off a sandbar, and float until you wash up on the next sandbar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's if people panic.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, okay, don't. That's what PFDs are for.
John in La Crosse has a question. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks. I was just wondering where the good canoe races are in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Iowa.
There's a bunch of them. Now, the USCA, U.S. Canoeing Association, actually has sponsored races or sanctioned races. I mean, the Paddle and Portage isn't, but the day after usually is one down in Muscadet. Muscadet race on the Wisconsin River is one of the sanctioned races. If you go to Silent Sports, the magazine silentsports.net, there's a list of all the canoe races, and usually there's a pretty tight community. If they can't help you, send me an email and I'll put you in touch with some racers.
But could you tell me some other ones that you know of?
In the Midwest?
Yeah, they got a race in Arcadia. They got one in La Crosse sometimes.
Sure.
But they're little races.
I mean, there's some smaller races. To be honest, I gave up racing for Lent like 25 years ago. my race partner went to medical school, and I couldn't find anybody I liked to race with anymore. So I don't race that much. Usually I try not to.
So if you go to silentsports.com
or net, yeah, or email me and I'll forward your email to one of my racing friends and he'll put you in touch with all the people that do it.
And perfect. And just so Rutabaga,
Darren B at Rutabaga, yeah,
at Rutabaga. There we go. Thanks, John, for calling. Appreciate it. And we've got Paul who sent us an email. He's 6'7". So he's a tall guy, like to get into kayaking. Will he be able to find a kayak that will fit him?
The answer is yes, with a caveat. How big are his feet? I mean, that's usually the problem.
Ah.
If someone's tall, they usually have bigger feet, and bigger feet means you need more deck. That said, I've never found anybody I couldn't find a kayak to fit in. Like we can do it. It exists.
Yeah, so no problem there. And let's see, we had Maggie emailed to ask if a 12 or 13 foot long solo canoe is too short or too tippy to paddle on lakes the size of Monona or Mendota.
That's not enough information for making a good decision. I paddle 12 or 13 foot boats on Mendota, Monona all the time, but that's boats are all different, paddlers are all different. It could be fine. I'd like to talk to her. If she wants to send me an email, I'll get more information. We'll work through it. But yeah.
Okay. So send an email, yeah. Maggie, for a little more in depth. Scott and McGuanago wondered if you're a fly fisher, what's the ideal watercraft for fly fishing?
A lot of the fishing kayaks are really good for that because you can stand up in them. I really like, there's a Native Watercraft Ultimate that I like for fly fishing because the bottom of it is pretty flat and not complicated. There's not a lot of little doodads in there to catch up when you're stripping line. So that's one I've seen fly fishermen use a lot, and they like that one.
Okay, and Rick on Facebook wonders if you've ever used emergency food for your trips. He uses MRE and Flex Grub.
Yeah, I do always have something. It's not MREs, but it's usually, I like those little packets of Indian food that are, you know, those things are really good. Miso soup, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so I always have some food packed that's not part of my food that I can pull out. And if I meet someone who lost their food, I can feed them too.
So Betty on Facebook wants to find a good inexpensive paddle board for using on lakes. Well, you have some suggestions there. Certainly, you're going to have plenty of paddle boards at Canoecopia.
Yeah, just a couple hundred of them. I don't know what inexpensive means. You can get a really good quality paddle board for like $600-$700. You can get one for $400 at Costco.
Maybe you get what you pay for
they tend to have problems.
Duane in Beloit has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Duane. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. I'm interested in buying a kayak this year at Canoecopia, and I know they have a show discount on kayaks. And I was wondering what the show discount is, and specifically on Jackson kayaks, because I know they control the pricing.
Yeah, so...
trying to remember.
No.
A lot to remember.
So accessories are 15% to 30% off. It depends on the manufacturer. Boats are usually between 6% and 10% off, depending on the manufacturer. Jackson Kayak actually has a pricing policy. They're kind of like Bose headphones. You can't get them on sale. Nope, ever. So what you can do is they're doing a sale special where if you buy one of their boats, you get essentially a gift card that you can spend on accessories on their website. It's a pretty good deal.
Okay, so that That's helpful, and that's going to be available at Canoe Cove.
Yeah, once they buy the boat, they just get a code. They go to their website. They can buy whatever they want. So,
all right.
For free.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And coming down to the end here, you can join in again yet at 1-800-642-1234. Time for one or two more questions. And we have coming up next, Pete from Bellevue, Iowa. Let's go to Pete. Hi, Pete. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for picking up. I have a chance to buy a Winona canoe. It's about an 18-footer at least, and probably made for flat water in the boundary waters. But wondered if it can be used on the Wisconsin River. Probably would stay away from the Kickapoo, a lot of switchbacks, a lot of work on my back that day if I was using a long canoe. But just any thoughts about buying a used canoe that long? And it seems to track really, really well. I even use it on the Mississippi River along the shore. It seemed to be fine. Just kind of wondering what his thoughts are.
Yeah, I think it's probably Minnesota 2, a Sundown or Minnesota 2, something like that. Those are great boats, good for the Wisconsin River. They're good for anywhere.
It'd be great for the Wisconsin, I would
say. Yeah, no, I paddled mine on the Wisconsin quite a bit.
It's got wood gunnels on it. It's very quiet. It seems like I was able to sneak up on birds and other things very easily.
We could have a whole show on wood gunnels. Yeah, no, great boat. But yeah, rent for the twisty-turny rivers. That's the answer, yeah.
And in terms of weight, I think, though, it's pretty hard for my wife and I, maybe, to get it up on the car, but I'll have to see. But I think it weighs at least 68 pounds.
Yeah, you know, pop me an email. I can give you more information. That's always...
There's ways to get it up on the car or behind the car, even?
Yep.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, thanks so much, and I hope to be up there for the first time on Saturday.
Oh, cool. We'll stop and say hey.
Perfect. Thanks, Pete. Thank you very much for calling. And by that, he means the Canoe Copia, of course. Pete says he's going to come from Bellevue, Iowa to be there for Canoe Copia. And the event, it's at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, sort of on the edge of town.
Yep.
And Friday from 4 to 9 and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tickets, $15 a day, or actually you can get a weekend pass for $25.
Our advanced ticket sales are up 50% over last year, and they're almost all three-day passes. So people are coming for the whole thing.
Well, I can see why with the amount of chances to learn.
There's a lot to see. Yeah,
there's an awful lot to see. Well, you know what, Darren? It's always a pleasure to have you with us, and great to be able to tell people about Canoe Copia, but I expect you'll come back.
I hope so, if you'll have me.
Again. We'll talk some more about canoeing and kayaking with Darren Bush. In the meantime, Canoe Copia, this weekend, it's the largest expo of its kind in the world, as a matter of fact. Well, there are some new things going on license-wise, I think, with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Some pretty kind of fun and interesting things, I think. We'll be talking about what's happening with Mark Rappe of the DNR next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.